basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here.
It's that time for the Bob Ryan, Gary Tangway Zooming podcast right here on CLNS Media Network. We are brought to you by Prize Picks, the exclusive daily fantasy partner of CLNS Media. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy with Prize Picks. Bob, we've talked about the Celtics team as a whole quite a bit. So now let's focus on the coach. And you find the maturation process and the development and this new personality in Joe Mazzulla very interesting.
It's a coming out of that he's revealing himself to us with his utterances. Last year, he was obviously just concentrating. I mean, you know he was overwhelmed. You know that he must have gone to bed with 1,000 things in his head and awakened with 2,000 things in his head. And worried about this and worried about that. And he was very circumspect in his public utterances. He had nothing to say, really. You know, they just addressed the game. That he was asked the specific questions. He just did his job. It was due diligence and nothing more. What we're seeing is a lot of stuff running around that guy's head. It's coming out in sequences. The most interesting one this week, I thought, was when he was, among other things, talking about why what the rebound issue is and why they've had some trouble occasionally with offensive rebounding and talking about this and that. But he was talking about the fact that he considers the fact that people are nitpicking this team, whether it's about the end of the game plays, whether it's about offensive rebounding, whatever it is, as a compliment that they're so good that people have to define a criticism. And that the people care. You know, he grew up in Providence. He obviously understands the Boston market, but he's just revealing himself that there's it's a very thoughtful and very perceptive 35-year-old man. But last year he was just a blank slate for us.
You're right, and as you said, understandably so. And I think this year he knows his team and he knows who he has to be for his team. Because in my opinion, the quality of a great coach is what they are to benefit the team. And I think that can change year to year.
Yes.
He seems to be prepared to take any criticism for his guys. He's going to be very supportive of his guys. And he obviously is not going to panic at all. I mean, that's just, and now what happens behind closed doors, I don't know.
We don't know. The dynamics between he and Brad, we have no idea how that works. Other than that, we know that Brad has faith in him. He wouldn't have named him a coach and hand him the keys to the Ferrari, which he did. I'm sure Brad has some helpful thoughts for him, but we don't know that it never comes up. It's interesting. The other thing I think you're hinting there, he knows he's got a damn good team, and the last thing he wants in the world he wants to do is mess it up. As I said, I doubt seriously that any other team that anyone wouldn't trade their roster for the Celtics roster and then see, okay, here's what I'm going to do with that roster. It's the deepest roster. I mean, they're seriously down to one with 10 useful players. That is not a norm in the NBA. You know, that you've got 10 useful players, and I'm counting Tillman as the 10th. So, I mean, yeah, it's an interesting thing. I'm sure he's preparing himself. He knows damn right well that if they don't win, that where the fingers are going to be pointed, and barring some unforeseen injury catastrophe that takes out,
I mean, Tatum's going to, it's going to be, if they don't win the title, and in my opinion, if they lose to anyone but Denver,
after
the criticism. I mean, if they lose to Denver in the finals, I'm good with that because we all know what Denver is. We all know who they have. They have the best player in the league right now.
Yes. Period.
So if they lose to anyone but Denver in the finals, or if they're upset along the way in the playoffs, there's going to be hell to pay. They're going to take some major heat. It's going to start.
It's
going to go to Brown. Then it's going to go to the coach.
Yeah, right. I think he knows this, but I'm just impressed. He's impressing me more and more with what's that he's
Which means Brad Stevens has really not made a bad move.
No, I mean, no kidding. I mean, the key moves, and you know, one that was very good that doesn't get discussed a lot. I'm not saying no one ever mentions it, is bringing Horford back from Philly, and what a second, breath of fresh air he's been. He's been terrific. He's everything you'd ask of him. He's absolutely giving you everything he's got, and he's being utilized perfectly well. So they don't play him back to back. They nurse him, but he's contributed mightily.
Here's, as we continue to put Joe Mazzulla and the Celtics under the strongest microscope available, the challenge right now, as we've talked about, and this is a hard thing, man. I don't envy him, is the final 2 minutes of the game where, you know, maybe it's not the best to have the ball in Tatum's hands or Brown's hands. And that is very hard for an NBA coach to deal with. Now, if you have Phil Jackson and you're coaching the Bulls, it's obvious, right? It's obvious who's getting the ball. Jordan, if you have the Lakers, when Jackson was there, it was Kobe, or if it was Pat Riley. You know, basically in the 80s, Magic decided who got the ball, right?
Yeah.
Same thing
yeah.
with Larry. I mean, with Larry, like, Larry had the ball in his hands in the final 2 minutes. He was either going to shoot it or he decided where the ball was going.
No, sure.
You know, Mazzulla, that's the tough one, you know? Should it be Derek White or go to the open man or, you know, instead of the pound the ball under the floor 9 times and take a shot?
Yep, and except there was more than 9. It turns out, I love the fact that the count was made at one of them.
19.
One of our guys had 19, the other one of our guys had 23 poundings before they shot the ball.
Yeah.
Which reminds me of that funny commercial with Bobo, the big guy in Dallas. He bounced again. I love that commercial. I love him. We all love him. Anyway, it's an interesting thing because when you have a guy that can, in theory, get his own shot, who happens to be 6 feet 10 or 11 and possesses sufficient ball handling ability and moxie to get his own shot, which is, I'm talking about Tatum, you know, it's hard not to want to give him the ball, you know, but we've got other options. You don't have to just do that. You know, you've got, especially those two guards, and now you've got a 7-3 option that you could throw the ball to, and who, by the way, you don't mind him getting fouled, and that's fine. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this works out.
That's where the psychologist of the coach comes in. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We talk about X's and O's, but, you know, I mean, Phil Jackson was probably one of the better psychologists.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, Phil, and remember, Phil was elevated as an assistant by Jerry Krause.
Right.
For which he never got enough credit, naturally, in Chicago. And of course, it was trashed in The Last Dance. He absolutely fostered the coaching career of Phil Jackson.
Yeah, talk about him. Jerry Krause gave you the label the commissioner, correct?
I don't know who did. I don't think it was Jerry Krause. He had a great nickname, though, given to him by Pat Williams. He was the sleuth, because when he was a scout for the Bullets and the Bulls, I guess, he was a scout. When I met him 50 years ago, literally, he was a scout. And everybody knew him, this disheveled, dumpy guy, and he was very secretive. And he talked out of the side of his mouth. He was right out of a movie. And Pat Williams, being Pat Williams, very cleverly nicknamed him the sleuth. And that's where, that was his universal nickname in the NBA community. Jerry, I don't know who gave me that nickname. I thought it was, I don't know, David Stern. I don't know who it was. But
I thought I read an SI. It was him. But needless
to say. I'm not going to refuse. I don't know. I forget.
Yeah.
I'll accept it.
But he was really a character, and like you said, unappreciated, because he let Doug Collins go, correct?
Yes.
And he went with Phil.
That's right.
And then there you go.
That's right. Oh, and he maneuvered to get Pippen in the draft. He drafted Oakley, who was not a particularly well-known out of a small school.
Eventually got Rodman.
Yes, Rodman at Southeast Oklahoma. he, I mean, you know, I was so met. Are we going to go, you know, because we spent enough time during the time of that movie going over it. But it was just so manifestly unfair what was done to him. Now, was he his own worst enemy in certain PR ways? Yes. You know, I accept that. And he could have helped himself a lot more. I'm going to defend him always.
Well, right now, the sleuth is Brad Stevens, as far as I'm concerned, because this guy has been tremendous.
Yeah.
And very under the radar and very off camera. Remember, the thought with Brad was going to be, oh, he'll do it for a year, then he'll go back to college.
You know, they're still lighting candles in Bloomington, Indiana, believe me, hoping that he's going to, you know.
I don't know.
I don't either, but I'm saying I know they are, you know, that's their fantasy, is that he's going to go back to the home state and take over this IU. But I'm not counting on that. Don't worry.
Yeah, I mean, Bob, you've seen it. Why would anybody in – I don't know if it's been done, but why would anybody leave the comfortable chair of a successful GM position to go back to 82 games?
Particularly, I know. And as far as going to college would be concerned, entering into that new cesspool that is now basketball and collegiate football because of the NIL and the portal and the madness that goes on. I can't imagine why anybody would want to get involved in that. I mean it, seriously.
Look, Jay Billis. Billis is a guy I know that you know and you're a fan of. I mean, he's on TV because of it.
Yeah. So, you know, there's plenty, you know, well, that's another topic. Well, we do have some college basketball games of note in both sexes, though, going on.
Yes, we will. And we will get to that. But I need to ask you about something. I really, we very rarely talk about the media here. I love the NCAA halftime show with Clark, Jay, Kenny, and Charles. I think it's some of the best analysis of any sport out there.
Clark was always good, and he was kind of unfairly shunted off the A team. I don't know. He was used to be on the A team, you know, for them.
Right.
And now he's in the studio. So, but he's goodness to you. Jay is a great addition for them. I mean, Jay, he is the absolute basketball adult in the room in that group, and not, you know, I mean, even the PhD professor for them, and I think they instantly respect him, and it's a good thing, because Charles is always a fun wild card to have around, and Kenny likes to try to one up Charles anytime he can, and,
all the time. But
you know,
but Kenny,
that's fine.
To me, Kenny always thinks of some. He always comes up with something unique.
Yeah,
whether you agree or disagree.
He's a bright guy, because he was a terrific point guard. He was a point guard, not an all star, but he's got a ring. He's got two rings to. Two rings to show for it. And believe me, he played very well in the playoffs. And I'm back. I remember doing one of my columns in those 2 years after a game about, you know, that they're but for Kenny Smith, that the Rockets are screwed. You know, he was that good, so he could play this game.
And he always has to say that team. He can't say the name Duke. He says that team in Raleigh. Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's a tournament season or the fight for a playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. Testing my skills on Prize Picks this season is the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with just a few taps. Prize Picks is really simple to play, and I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Use the code CLNS for the first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Let's go to Houston. Speaking of Houston, let's talk about a couple teams right now in Orlando and Houston. We'll start with them that are playing very well. And I wonder about what you think of, we'll start with Houston, their future, and could they have an impact this year?
Well, they're basically youth-oriented, although, you know, sort of with a very unappreciated excellent player. I won't say great, and Fred VanVleet, who has transferred his college game seamlessly into the pros. And he's, you know, I don't know what his real height is. I don't even know what they list him at, but we're talking somewhere between 5'11 and 6'1 with right. Fred VanVleet. And he's become an outstanding solid pro. But the real story, of course, now is Jalen Green, who is on a very serious tear, and is really become their go-to guy. And I wish if our colleague Mr. Goodman were here, he would be able to regale us with tales of the Jalen Green long before any of us knew anything about Jalen Green. I remember he was all over him during that draft. Jalen Green, folks, if you don't know, didn't go to college. He went out and right went to the G League, and was the number one or two pick in the draft. You know, he's a high peg draft pick, but he's a serious, serious player. The other guy that was playing great, but he's hurt, is Sengun. He was their leading scorer. Guess who the coach is, ladies and gentlemen? Wow, that's a story if they do advance, you know, that Ime Udoka, you know, landed on his feet you know, he's the coach, boys, if you get that.
But I'm not surprised because we know he can coach.
We knew he can coach. Well, here he is. He hasn't taken much time for him to make his mark either. I mean, obviously. So yeah, they've won 11 in a row. I mean, I believe or something like that at the moment. And you have to figure they're going to be an interesting playoff team, for sure. And the West is so bunched, you know, in that. And I still think Denver's the favorite, but you could flip a coin of who's going to be their opponent in the Western Conference Finals. Could be any one of five teams easily.
Absolutely. And then you said LeBron's talking about his mortality.
LeBron, after he trashed and killed the Nets, he had 40 points, 9 for 10 on threes. And the most, his personal PR is 9 threes, and he tied it. And after the game, they asked him the usual question about how long are you going to go on? And this is new. Him, you know, instead of shrugging it off or doing some non sequitur, said, "I'm not going to be around much longer." And that's I don't know if that's the very first time he's ever gone public.
I've never heard that.
It's the first time I heard it out.
I always heard about he and Bronny playing together.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe he's starting to realize Bronny's not that good. You know, I don't know.
Right.
But so anyway, he's still. You can't be shocked he goes up with 40 points. They're going to be very interesting. I don't know. They could cause some trouble. I mean,
I want them to make a run. I know as a Celtic fan, it's sacrilege to talk about the Lakers, but I really want them to make a run. I like both players. I like Anthony Davis. Oh, Anthony, I like LeBron. They're good people. I want them to make a run.
Oh, Anthony Davis is you know, he's deep into his career now. You know, really, he's 30-ish.
And clock's ticking.
He's been hurt so much. There were times you forgot all about him when you're thinking about who the superior players in the league are. But you should never ever forget about Anthony Davis. That's for sure. And of course, I've said this here before. The revelation for me continues to be Austin Reeves, simply because I just totally had paid zero attention to him until last year's playoffs. But ever since last year's playoffs, this guy's become a really quality player.
Bob, we talked about. Like Houston could cause some problems. The Lakers could cause some problems. I mean, while we feel the Celtics are just going to the finals, is there one team in the East who could be an issue?
At one point we thought Cleveland was the chic team for about a month and a half. And they didn't have Mitchell, and now Mitchell's back. We'll see if they can reassemble themselves. You know, the Knicks had that great January. I'm telling you that they have some good personnel. But once again, Mitchell Robinson just came back and immediately got hurt, sprained his ankle last night. But Ananobi and Randall, the Knicks, if they can get back, but there's only 8 games left or so, you know, if Celtics have 8 games left. And so everybody's in that. We're 2 weeks away. The last day of the season is a week from Sunday. If they could play the way they played in January, you'd have to say, you know, they'd be a tough out. It's still going to be Milwaukee to me, you know, now, once again, Philly, is Embiid going to be back, you know, and if he's back, I'm never going to discount Philly as a chance. They won't be easy to beat either. But right now, I still think it's Milwaukee. Now, the other team that with good young players, a wonderful young front line is Orlando.
Orlando.
You know, with Banchero and the Wagner brothers, and we got a whiff of them early on this year. Remember they beat the Celtics and they got our attention. And then of course, you know, they're going to play it. This will be played up once the playoffs start. You know, Miami. You know, the Jimmy Butler, the playoff guy, the whole thing with Miami. You know, we'll see. And Bam, and Bam is a damn good player, by the way. You know, and they know they've been there before, as we well know. Nobody knows more pointedly than the Celtics what the Heat can do in the playoffs right now. So I would keep my eye on them. But once again, Celtics, it's quite frankly, it's theirs to win and lose. They play the game the right way, the way they're capable of playing. Nobody has more talent, top to bottom, than the Boston Celtics. Nobody in the East. And I will be disappointed if they don't make it to the finals.
Now let's move to the women's game, which as we record tonight will be LSU and Iowa, which is a game nobody wants to miss.
No.
UConn and USC and the other one this evening. Your thoughts overall on
that? This is, you know, the fact that there's never been more attention focused on the women is and rightfully so. But this rematch is a women's, you know, promoters match made in heaven.
God.
You know, and all the more so now because Kim Mulkey is in the news for the whole, which she stirred up the hornet's nest before it even happened. I don't know how much attention would have been paid to this Washington Post story, which has finally surfaced, if she hadn't have, you know, fired that preemptive strike last week, denouncing it before she even saw it. And but now it's out there so people can find it and read it and for themselves. It's a lengthy, it's like a New Yorker level length. You keep thinking, when's it going to end? You know, but I'm telling you, I'm serious. But it's not flattering, but it's not vilifying either. It's factual. She has said and done all these things, all right? And she has rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, even while she impresses them with her coaching ability, which is unquestioned. She's a great coach. She was a great player. She's a great one of the pivotal figures in the history of women's college basketball. It's Kim Mulkey. There's no question. But the timing is very interesting. And she's clearly, you know, she thinks, I don't know what she's implying there. The Washington Post was trying to see that they lose. You know, she's saying the timing was very suspicious and all this and that. All right. Anyway, back to the basketball. We've got this little individual inherent rivalry between Angel Reese and Caitlin, you know, with the, you know, the hand over the eyes thing. And it's going to be a lot. You'd love to be there. I can imagine the tension is going to be in that building, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Now, technically speaking, Iowa is really not playing all that well, and they've survived despite a little. They struggled for a while against Holy Cross, and then the last game, amazingly, they win, and only Caitlin hit a three. No other player hit a three. Now, I don't think that happens again. They're not going to beat LSU.
No, they're not going to win.
I'm thinking LSU is going to win this game anyway. But, hey, Caitlin could come up with 45. That's a fact. You don't know. So it's going to be worth it. Now, the other game, UConn is unlike any – this is a march to the, you know, Final Four. Unlike any that they've ever had, or maybe nobody's ever had, they are suiting up eight players due to the proliferation of injury and playing six as a rule. And Paige Beckers is back. So if, you know, and she is a truly great player. And so they have an absolute puncher's chance any game they play, as long as Paige Beckers is in that lineup. And USC is giving us Juju Watkins, you know. So we've got on there, how lucky for them, the women's game, the absolute four marquee players that they have are all on display tonight. Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Paige Beckers, and Juju Watkins are all on display tonight. I mean, they couldn't pay for that kind of bonus.
Oh, no, it's great. And also, though, I was talking to a friend of mine about this. With the way that the the men's game has gone, where you basically have free agency in college men's basketball now, right? With the transfer portal. I mean, you could just, so there's no continuity generally when it comes to rosters. You know, I mean, the last one was Florida, I think, you know.
Yes, right.
So what you have now in the women's game is you have teams that people can get behind for multiple years. And that works for fans.
It may not last either, fans. By the way. You know, you don't think, you know, there's no reason why it can't, their game can't evolve into that on their level, you know, with people running all over the place the way they do in the men's game.
But also, though, I mean, and maybe this will change, you know, I don't, you know, with the men's game, a lot of guys leave after 1 year because they want to go for the money. Yeah. But now, like, for example, with Caitlin Clark, I mean, some players can make more money playing college.
Well, she is. With a top salary in WNBA is like $240,000.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a millionaire. We know this already.
Endorsement. So why leave?
The women's game, that is the fact that staying in is more lucrative than coming out.
Right.
And this is why Angel Reese is hesitating. She could come out, but she's not making any plan to do so. And maybe we know publicly she hasn't committed to it yet. She could come out, but you know, I think people are thinking she might stay in. And it's good. But once again, just to echo something I said last time, you know, the idea that we're having this conversation and that these conversations are taking place all over America about women's basketball is absolutely impressive, and you know, the how far this game has come. And in a short period of time, you know, that it's achieved this level of notoriety that we wouldn't be having this discussion at this level 2 years ago, let alone 5 or 10.
Right. It's all good stuff. Bob, we'll talk to you again in the middle of the week before you head off to Phoenix.
That's right. Off to Phoenix and my 30-whatever Final Four.
All right, Bob. Bob Ryan, Gary Tangway, brought to you by Prize Picks, the exclusive daily fantasy partner of CLNS Media. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy with Prize Picks. Okay, Bob, talk to you later.